Okay. It's spring, and it's the time for planting, gardening, farming, whatever. It's that time. There are certain crops that can be planted this early, and there are certain ones where we have to wait a little while till the weather warms up. But nevertheless, it's that time. And there's something about gardening and farming and everything that's always amazed me, because I've done a fair amount of it over the years, and Mary and I have been doing it for a while now too. But think about this for a moment. Just about anything that you throw in the ground, you know, old wood, maybe you bury it, stuff that gets put in the landfill, maybe you do your own composting or something, so you throw, you know, parts of fruit and vegetables and whatever, you know, away, and you put it in the ground, and what happens to it? It just rots, right? It just rots. But take a seed, any seed, and you put it in the ground, and what happens to it? It sprouts. It doesn't rot. I've had, in the past anyway, I've had packets of seeds that have been laying around for a long time. 1, 2, 3 years. And I put those seeds in the ground and they still spring forth. It's amazing to me. It really is. What is so different about a seed as opposed to other stuff that we put in the ground where the other stuff just rots and the seeds don't? It's because there's life in those seeds. I don't understand it, but there's life in those seeds. So that when you put it in the ground and it's in surrounded by the dirt and the minerals and water and everything, that life just bursts forth through that seed, bursts the seed open, and up comes a plant. And it always amazed me, especially you get some really tiny seeds, like carrot seeds or even beet seeds, and what do you get out of it? Something much, much, much bigger. It's just amazing to me. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but I have from time to time. But that's what God has ordained, that there is life in those seeds. You look at them, you don't see the life, you just see what you think is just something that's dead. Something that the plant produced. But yet you take that and you put it in the ground and new life comes up. It's just an amazing thing to me. And that, you know, Jesus spoke about seeds quite a bit, really. And Donna has the scripture up, which relates, and certainly relates to Easter. Here in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Think about that. I put my carrot seeds or my beet seeds or string bean seeds, whatever, in the ground, and there's life in there. But yet, the seed has to first die in order for new life to come up. It's amazing. The seed must die in order to produce life. And we think certainly of Jesus in that respect. If it dies, it produces much grain. If you think of Jesus as in the same way that you think of a seed, after he was crucified, he was buried in the ground, wasn't he? Laid in the tomb, in the ground. He died like a seed, but yet up came life, new life. And that one solitary life, look at all that that it has produced throughout all the centuries, the fruit that it has borne, that he has borne, his new life has borne over the centuries, all the people that have gotten saved since then, and certainly that's why we're here, because we have gotten saved from his seed, so to speak, and the life that he has produced. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If you're not willing to die, as a seed does, to produce life, you think you're going to save your life, but actually you're going to lose it. It's one of those paradoxes in Scripture. In order to save your life, you need to lose it. It doesn't make sense, especially to people in the world. It's not logical. In order for you to have life, to save your life, you need to first lose it. But that's what we needed to do. We needed to surrender our life to the Lord, in effect, die with him in order to have new life that he gives us through his resurrection. It's amazing. It really is. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I mean, I love God's creation. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I've seen pictures of different places on the earth that I wish I could see in person. Maybe I've seen it on TV or in magazines or something. He has created a beautiful world and created the heavens. I look up at the stars and I marvel at all that he has created and how vast it is. But no matter how vast it is, in our eyes, it's as nothing in God's eyes, because even if we were able to go to the farthest reaches of the universe, he's there. He's there, no matter how far we go, if we ever could. We don't even know the boundaries of the universe. But even if we did and could go there, he's there. He is such an amazing God. But as much as I love his creation, I hate what it has become, because it has been corrupted by sin. And that's the part that I hate. And as much as I love seeing the beauty he has created, I hate the system that now is prevalent in his creation. And I hate living under that. I really do. Don't have any choice. But I look forward to what is to come, the beauty that will far surpass anything that we've seen here to date, and the peace and the joy and everything. So if you hate this life, you'll keep it. You'll keep your life for eternal life. And I think that's what we all look forward to, that eternal life in paradise. No more woes, no more sorrows, no more tax assessments, no more illness. Nothing. We won't have to deal with anything like that anymore. I don't have to worry about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to do? What am I going to wear? Nothing. Don't have to worry about anything. Because everything will just be beautiful and peaceful and harmonious. Now we get to the difficult, somewhat difficult part. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. It's easy to follow him in many respects because he teaches us how to live. But yet, he went to Calvary, didn't he? Are we to follow him there too? Oh boy. That's a tough one, isn't it? Are we supposed to follow him to Calvary too? Yes. Maybe not in a physical sense, but certainly in a spiritual sense. We are dead to the world. Scripture says that we were crucified with him. And if we were crucified with him, then we are resurrected with him as well. So we have to follow him wherever he went, and he went to Calvary. He gave up his life that others may live. He gave up everything to bring many souls to salvation. Isn't that what we're supposed to do as well? Give up our lives that others may live, serve others, deny ourselves that others may benefit. The beauty of that, though, is that if we all do it, we're all blessed. It's only when we hold back that we don't receive the blessings that God intended for us. Because if I bless Diane, and Diane blesses Cheryl, and Cheryl blesses Joan, and Joan blesses Candy, and so on, right? If we all deny ourselves and bless one another, then it comes around, doesn't it? And we all receive. And that's the beauty of it. And that's what we need to remember when God calls us to do something that maybe we're reluctant to do, let's put it that way. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Where is he now? He's at the right hand of God the Father, isn't he? And if we follow him, where he is, there we will be also. Scripture says that we are seated with him in the heavenlies. And where is he? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. We're there with him, in effect, sharing his throne. That's maybe a sermon topic for another time, but it's nevertheless true. We are seated with Christ on his throne. Because we are adopted into his family and we are now royalty. We need to remember that. But we'll talk about that another time. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And I think we've heard some evidence of that this morning. Some of the joys and blessings we've received and how he honors us with these blessings. Unexpected, certainly timely, when we need them, and just what we need when we need it. God is so faithful. He does everything that he promises. The important thing is we need to do our part. We want to experience all the abundant life, the rich blessings that come with that. We need to follow Jesus wherever he went. And that means to Calvary. We need to lay down our lives. And as we do that, we will experience the resurrected life that he gives us. We can't hold back. We can't hold back. So, Jesus is alive. That's why we celebrate Easter. New life has come from that seed that was sown in the ground. He died. But new life came from that, springing up and spreading out, bearing much fruit, and we're all part of that fruit. Let us in turn be seeds as well, and be planted willingly giving up our lives in service to Him, that by our giving up ourselves, new life will spring forth and touch others and bless others in so many different ways. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. And God is faithful. And others will be blessed, and we will be blessed as well. And we will share in the power of that resurrected life. So many of us long for it. We want to see God's power at work. We want to see people healed. We want to see people saved. We want them to see their problems taken care of and dealt with. That will happen, but only as we willingly give ourselves up in service to Him. We will see that resurrection power. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to be willing to go that extra mile, to willingly give ourselves up in service to You, to become seeds, Lord, sown in the ground, figuratively, to die, but yet to impart life, new life, that will yield much fruit in the same way that Jesus did. Thank You, Father. There's so much we have yet to learn about the kingdom of God and how it functions. But this is sure. If we are to follow Jesus and reap the blessings of that abundant life, we need to become as seeds sown in the ground. Help us, Lord, to do that, to be willing. And may we see fruit, just a bounteous supply of fruit, Lord, as a result of that. Thank You, Lord. We have seen tastes of it from time to time. But may we see more, Lord. More and more and more. More fruit, more fruit, more seed sown, more fruit, more fruit. All for Your glory. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.